The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
So I grew up in a hymn singing church, and this is an old one. This is an Anglican minister from the 19th century. He was born in Ireland, and this hymn text has been in nearly 300 hymnals. So no matter your denominational stripe, you may have come across this at some point. There's one little phrase in there that I want to zoom in on. Through all its pulses move. You see that in the second line? Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Wean it from earth, which is a marvelous idea just in itself. Through all its pulses move. What does that mean for the Holy Spirit to move in all of your pulses? We're going to talk about that in just a second, because there's a beautiful story today in Acts 16 where you have already turned about the Holy Spirit moving through the pulses of God's people in the early church. And I also, by extension, want to ask you, once again, as I did a few minutes ago, how is it that the Holy Spirit moves in your pulses? How do you know when the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you? Is it a billboard? Is it a quiet inner voice? Is it 17 different things? How do you know? How do the people of God recognize the Holy Spirit? I heard someone say one time that the Christian story began in Jerusalem as a movement of the Holy Spirit. Then the story shifted to Rome, where it became an institution. And then the story of God moved to Europe, where it became a culture. And then went to North America, where it became a big business. And how many steps apart now, how many steps removed are we from that first blazing fire of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit moved in all the pulses of the people? And would we even recognize Him now? If I were to get up in front of you and say, the Holy Spirit doesn't move in our lives anymore, that's just for the first century, that's just for the second century. The Holy Spirit doesn't really speak to us. That was just for Paul and his companions. And I've got this really nice map here of Macedonia. And we needed the Holy Spirit then for this, that, and the other. But He really doesn't do that anymore. You would quite rightly take issue with that and say, that's not true, Pastor Chris. You're preaching something that's not true. But how many of you, me included, live like that? How many Christians today live like the Holy Spirit doesn't speak anymore? You go up to a gathering of Christians and say, where has the Holy Spirit been at work in your life this week? How did the Holy Spirit speak to you? In what ways are you listening to the Holy Spirit in your church? And do you get a fulsome testimony, or do you get crickets? Because while we say that we believe that the Holy Spirit is still moving in all of our pulses, we don't often live like that. I want to show you a story in Acts 16 that is a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit moving. And I believe with all my heart that we can pick up a tip or two, an example, a living example of what it looks like when the Holy Spirit is directing. Turn to Acts 16, you're already there. This is where we are in a missionary journey of Paul. It's the second one, actually. And we are picking up people along the way. And they are taking with them the decisions that the Jerusalem Council was giving to new believers about what to eat, what to stay away from. You may recall that the Judaizers wanted new Christians to adhere to all these measures of the law and things. And so the council at Jerusalem got together and said, no, we don't need to put this burden on them. We couldn't even bear it. So they whittled it down to a few things, meat sacrificed to idols, various other little items. And so they're taking this around to the churches. And if you look in, verse 4, I'll start there. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Now look at verse 6 especially. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching in the province of Asia. Let that sink in just half a second. Through all its pulses move. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Let that sink in just a minute or two. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Oh, there's some rich stuff there. We'll go back in a minute. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. I love that. So there are several places there that I think are really interesting when we think about this notion of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, moving through all of our pulses. Through all its pulses move. I love that phrase. First of all, would you go back to the place where it says, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia? That's long about verse 6. Now, lots of folks have speculated about why in the world the Holy Spirit was saying, don't go over there. If we were to draw a big world map, Asia is over there. I'm standing north. Actually, is that north? Kinda. And Asia is that way. And they're kind of over in this sort of area right now, and they are moving around and going from town to town, and the Spirit of God says, nope, don't go to Asia. Do you have any idea about why? You want to speculate a little bit? Why might the Holy Spirit not want them to go to Asia? Any idea? Okay, she says protection. What else? They weren't ready? Okay, maybe. Maybe the timing wasn't right. I think there's a good many commentators who say it's God's timing. For whatever reason, we don't know. Somebody else? You got an idea? Yeah. The Holy Spirit had other ideas for another place. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Did you hear that? The Holy Spirit wanted them to listen. Oh, I love that. So it could be, quote, as simple as just wanting them to hear. Maybe that's training. Maybe that's Holy Spirit training. I want you to listen. I want you to be responding to what I'm trying to say. Anybody else? Any ideas? Okay, so if I were to put that in another form, I would say maybe the Holy Spirit had strategic ideas about other places. Maybe? Okay. Did Paul want them to go there? You have to assume that they had a conversation. And Paul or somebody else says, hey, I think we ought to go over to Asia. You get the idea that it had been on the itinerary. right? They were fixing, can I say fixing? They were fixing to go to Asia, but the Holy Spirit says no. It might be that they would miss their rendezvous with Luke a little later because Luke's going to join the band here in just a few minutes. It could be that there was another divine appointment. Somebody kind of mentioned this a minute ago. There's another divine appointment over here, and we'll miss that if we go over to Asia. The timing, etc., etc. Look a little farther down, and you get another similar indication. Another similar thing happens in the story. It says, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. By the way, only place in the New Testament where the Holy Spirit of God is called the Spirit of Jesus. But that's clearly what we're talking about here. Okay, so the Holy Spirit didn't allow us to go into Asia. So change of itinerary. We'll go over here to Mysia. And once again, the Holy Spirit of God says, nope, don't want you to go there either. Why? Some of the same kind of issues. We might miss our divine appointment with meeting up with Luke. Or maybe, as Karen said, the Holy Spirit is training them to listen. And so, again, if you'll think about the map, Asia and Mysia are over this direction. Now, look at the next little bit here. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Look what happens next. After Paul had seen the vision, who did? After Paul had seen the vision, who got ready at once? Who had the vision? Who got ready and left at once? Oh, important. Isn't that interesting? I'll come back in a minute. We got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Concluding. Who did the concluding? We. So, back to your map. Over here is Mysia and Asia. And if you would look at the map, Macedonia is over here. 180 degrees in the other direction. Does that give you a little goose? It gives me little goosebumps. I heard someone say one time that I really made a change in my life, and I turned away from my sin, and I made a 360-degree change. The Holy Spirit is moving through their pulses and says, nope, I don't want you to go over there. Here's where I want you to go. And the compass shifts 180 degrees over here. Now look what happens after they go from there to there. And I don't have time to tell you, but you should go back and read about all the stuff they encountered between there and there. There's a lot of traveling. If you have one of those handy maps in your Bible, you'll notice that they had to go across what is modern-day Turkey. They put out to sea, and they're boating around up around the islands and so on. And then they get off the boat, and they do some more traveling. It's a long way. There had to be some energy and resources and planning and so on. And so they go 180 degrees. Here's what happens. They go to Neapolis and they travel to Philippi. It's a Roman colony. It's a leading center of commerce. And just as Lori said a few minutes ago, it's a strategic place. Yeah, maybe the Holy Spirit had this in mind. Maybe they're going to go meet with some governmental leaders or the Chamber of Commerce or something like that. Maybe it's going to be a big honking amphitheater filled with people. It says they stayed there several days. Look at verse 13. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. Who went outside? We did. And who did the expecting? We did. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. The Holy Spirit is alive and well, and he's moving through all of their pulses. And he says, here's where I want you to go. And then they think to themselves, you know what? I'll bet there's going to be a gathering down by the riverside. And I'll bet some people are going to be there. Let's go there. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. Verse 14. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message, and she and the members of her household were baptized. there's something in this story, well, maybe two or three somethings, that really, really get my attention when I start thinking about how it is that the Holy Spirit moves through all of our pulses. Would you please take a look at Proverbs 16:9? I'll bet you could flip there real quick like. Go backwards in your Bible to Proverbs. After we have the Psalms, we have the Proverbs. And Proverbs 16:9 speaks to this, I think. Proverbs 16:9 says, "In his heart a man plans his course, but what? The Lord determines his steps." Point number one, they had an idea. Was it a bad idea? No. All right, let's go up here to Asia. "In his heart, a man plans his course." But what? The Lord what? Man's got his plan. He's got his course of action. The Lord establishes the steps. So then they conclude that they're not supposed to go there. So let's go to Mysia. Bad idea? No. Just not what the Holy Spirit had in mind. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And so they find themselves all the way over in 180-degree land, Macedonia, because Paul had a vision. And they conclude that that means they're supposed to go over there. What in the world are they going to say when they get there? Well, look at Romans 8:26 through 28, would you? Acts, Romans, the next book over is Romans. Romans 8:26. "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." Nowhere in the story do you get the idea that they were afraid to go to these places. Nowhere in the story do you get the idea that they did a whole lot of planning ahead of time about what they were going to say, although I bet they did. It says Paul had a message. So there's some preparation there, but they are counting on the voice of the Holy Spirit to move through all of their pulses and give them the words to say. There are two little points that I'd like to make about this that may be, well, first of all, that's just not done because a pastor should have 3 points, right? But I only have two today. Point number one is this. This whole journey right here was initiated and led and formed and finished by the Holy Spirit. That's so good, I'm going to say it again. This whole endeavor was initiated and led and formed and finished by the Holy Spirit. Do a quick scan once again. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching here, they tried to enter here. The Spirit of Jesus would not let them, so they passed by. Paul has a vision. The Holy Spirit says 180 degrees over there, and then once we get there, the Holy Spirit left them alone. No, that's not what happened, because the Holy Spirit is still forming and finishing the mission. It says this, "We went outside the city gate," verse 13, "we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and we began to speak." And I want you to look toward the end of verse 14 and see what it says. It's so simple, we might pass it right by. But it says, "The Lord opened her heart." Can I get an amen up in here this morning? The Lord opened her heart. The Holy Spirit led and guided and directed and initiated and formed and finished. All of this, start to finish, is the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness, what trouble they would have been in if they didn't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. What trouble they would have been in if they believed that the Holy Spirit was something for the really, really early church and that he had stopped speaking. That the Holy Spirit departed with Jesus, and now we're on our own. My goodness gracious, what trouble they would have been in. First point is, the whole thing is led by the Holy Spirit, start to finish. Second point. Notice that it happens in the context of community. Several times through this text, I ask you to notice the word we. We. Let's look at a little Bible verse and then we'll come back and do that. Turn please to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by who? The Holy Spirit. Paul has a vision, and then it says, we concluded that. Isn't that a wonderful window into the thinking of the early church? Go back and scan our passage again. Paul and his companions, was Paul by himself? No. And they were kept by the Holy Spirit, and they came here, and they were kept by the Holy Spirit from going there. We passed by those places. Do you think they had a conversation about it? Yeah. Hey, what's the Spirit saying to you? Well, I don't know, but I don't feel like we should go into Mysia. Really? Why? Well, here's what I'm sensing. Okay. Paul gets up the next morning and says, fellas, I had a vision. Here's what we should do. Do you think they had a conversation about it? I do. Because Paul knows the Lord. And Paul is going to be responsible for so much of what we're reading here. Paul also knows this principle that Peter is talking about, and that the prophet has the witness of others as he is carried along by the Spirit of God. I love this place where it says, we went outside the city gate where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message, and then she invites us to her home. Come stay with me. All of this happens in the context of community. So I want you to think about that a little bit, would you? Think about how is it that I recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit? How and where am I sensing that? Can the Holy Spirit of God prompt you to do something in the DMV? You have to listen really carefully. I was in the DMV the other day, waiting for, oh, I don't know, a while. And I walked up to this haggard woman behind the desk who looked like she had been mauled by a bear. And I said, how's it going today? She said, you don't want to know. I said, yeah, I do. I said, is it the public? She said, yeah. And I said, I want you to look at me. She looked up and I said, what you do matters. There is a God, he loves you. So the lady begins to cry. I concluded that I had hit my mark. And she sent me on to another place where I met a woman who was taking pictures. You know, the lady who says, stand behind the thing, look at me. And you know, the whole time you're practicing going, because I have never taken a good picture my whole life. It's just painful. I'm dreading to see what it looks like. And I said, how are you doing today? She said, well, it's not a good day. And I said, how can I make it better? Now, I could have focused on the fact that I'm at the DMV, which is not the most pleasant place in the world, and you don't want to be there if you don't have to be. But listen, you don't belong to you, and I don't belong to me. And I wasn't in community, but I knew I wanted to come back and share it with my community. Where's the Holy Spirit speaking to you? And are you tuned in, as we talked about it 2 weeks ago, to the right channel? And when you have a vision, speak it to somebody else in community, so together we can interpret. One simple place to start, though, with thinking about how and where you want the Holy Spirit to speak in your life is this hymn, and I'll conclude here. Would you go back to page 7? Page 7 in your order of service. There is a verse that the hymn writer wrote that we're not using today. And as with many hymns, there are lots of verses to these hymns that don't always get published. And we concluded that we wouldn't put it in today. But I love it for this reason. The hymn writer says, I ask no dream, no prophet ecstasies, no sudden rending of the veil of clay, no angel visitors, no opening skies, but take the dimness of my soul away. That's a good place to start, isn't it? And look what you have here. Teach me to love thee as thy angels love, one holy passion filling all my frame, the kindling of the heaven-descended dove, my heart and altar, and thy love the flame. You ought to get up and say that every morning. And I'll bet you, if you do, you will remember that the Holy Spirit, and realize and experience that the Holy Spirit is alive and well. And if you ask Him, and if you will keep your ears perked up, if you are aware of the Holy Spirit moving through all of your pulses, then you will enter into a story that is initiated and led and propelled and finished by the Holy Spirit. And let's do it together in community. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to descend upon my heart and wean it from earth and through all of its pulses move. Stoop to my weakness, mighty as thou art, and make me love thee as I ought to love. Teach us, Lord, to hear your voice. Give us the courage to tell your story boldly. And help us to be on the lookout for divine appointments. Whether you keep us from going into a place or give us the green light to move 180 degrees in the other direction, I pray we'll sense it and go there. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.